Amen. That's our pre-worship song for Sunday morning, so just wanted to introduce you to that again. It's been a while since we've sang that one. Want to welcome everybody who's here tonight in person. Thank you for being here. You've also want to welcome those on our social media platforms. Be sure to heart, like, share, follow, subscribe, all those things there, especially comment. If you have prayer requests for tonight, do that over on Facebook. That's what we'll be watching for the live to be able to make note of those tonight. Welcome to those also who are on our phone live streaming. Thank you for being there with us also. And if you know someone who needs that service, please call the church office. See me after the service. Be glad to give that number to you. If you do have access, though, at home to the website, highlandbaptistchurch.com, go over under the info tab. That's where you can download the worship bulletins. These are still at the doors as you came in tonight. We've got our children's worship bulletins in the windowsill over here to my right, one for ages 3 and up, one for ages 7 and up. Those are under that info tab. And then tonight's prayer list is also under that. So if you're at home, please get that downloaded where you can see that on a device there and be able to follow along with us when we go through those prayer requests there. Those in person, they're up here on the front pew if you didn't get one. If someone comes in late, please make sure they get one. Want to encourage you also, while you're on the church website, to go to the far left-hand side, click the Give Online tab, do your online giving there. Real easy platform. Encourage you to take the time to do that. A couple of quick things. Don't forget that Saturday, we've got a special event Saturday with Chosen Road. They're going to be here this Saturday. It is free admission. We'll take a love offering. They're going to be singing at about 7 o'clock there, so you don't want to miss it. They're going to be introducing their new patriotic album to us this weekend, so you're going to be wonderfully blessed with that. Also, our guys are going to be setting up the flags on Saturday also that morning, 8 o'clock. If you want to come and help do that, be here bright and early. They'll get started and start finding where those little holes are and putting the flags in, so we could use some help with that. We've got quite a few that we do with that, so if you can be here for that, please do so. This Sunday also is our Lord's Supper Sunday, so just wanted to remind you about that. For our 10:30 service, come and join us for that. We'll have a wonderful time of service and worship. Hopefully, our children will be ready also to share in that service. They'll be sharing briefly some of the things that they experienced at kids' camp. And hopefully maybe a video there too. So pray that everything works out well there if they are able to all be here for that. And then also a couple of other quick things. Don't forget we need some volunteers still for Fridays. If you've not signed up to help us, it's an easy ministry to be involved in. All you have to do, first of all, is just sign up. And then it's from 9 to 11:30 over at the Ministry Center. You just help to open up the building, help to set some books on some tables, greet people when they come in. You can go out through the parking lot and greet people out there also. But you're to be there to greet those people, to maybe have those opportunities to talk with them, pray with them, maybe share the gospel with them, and so that they can be able to access the restrooms, maybe have some water from the heat, or some when it's cooler, some coffee and stuff for the warmth from the cold. And so it's just a place too. There's some things they do for kids in there with some handouts and some little coloring sheets and stuff. So lots of ways for you to get involved with that if you want to help. Even if you just want to come for just a little bit, we could use your help. And then also don't forget the youth are going to be doing their youth night of worship. That's going to happen on July the 29th. Brother Matt's going to be speaking for that. Sam O'Neill is leading the music. It's at First Baptist Winchester. So make sure you take note of that. Get it on the calendar. Share it with other youth so that we can make sure they know about that. And then again, I mentioned this Sunday, don't forget these little green cards. They are over here by the stairs on the sides of the stage. There's some information on that you can either scan the QR code on the back of it. You can go to the website on the bottom of it if you want to send them some cards, or if you want to actually go to the event that they're doing for retirement there. If you want to send a thank you video, it tells you some of that information. If you want to send a gift, a love offering for them, it's got some information there. And I don't want to say too much because it is supposed to be somewhat secret. And so just so it isn't out there who it particularly is, but pick up one of those cards. You'll know instantly who that is if you've been a member here for any amount of time. So just wanted to remind you that. We do have, if you didn't get one of these Sunday, one of the Father's Day gifts, let us know. We do have some that are still available. If you had somebody you wanted to take one to make sure they got one, let us know. We've got several of those still available. So thank you. Brother Mike?
Good evening, everybody. Take your hymnals or sing from the screen, and let's all stand if you can and would, and let's sing 342, Rock of Ages Cleft for Me. We'll do all three verses. Ms. Gail? Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy wounded side which flow me of sin a double cure, save from wrath and make me pure. Not the labors of my hands can fulfill thy lost demands. These for sin could not atone. Thou must save, and now alone. In my hand no price I bring, simply to thy cross I'll cling. While I draw this fleeting breath, when mine eyes shall close in death, when I rise to worlds unknown and behold thee on thy throne, Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee.
All right, at home, hopefully you've had a moment to get your prayer list downloaded there so you can follow along with us. I just have one update of someone that I received this afternoon, so just wanted to make you aware of that. But if you do have any requests there at home, please be sure to go over to Facebook. That's where we'll be watching the live to be able to add those. Let me get a few things shut off here. Okay, and let me get my Facebook back up. All right, so I'm following along there with you on Facebook. So as you look at your prayer list, those on our Highland Baptist Church family side, we went through our whole list last time, so we're just going to highlight a few here that we want to remember, especially continue to remember Amy Jackson with her kidney cancer. She had her last treatment this past Monday. Things seem to be going well. She's still tired some from that, and so pray for her with her strength that that'll continue to do well. And so we just praise the Lord for where he has brought her from and to. So thank you so much for your prayers, but do continue to keep her in your prayers. Do continue to keep Tommy Griffin in your prayers as he has palliative care. Remember Miss Gail McBride. Did she go already? Did she go already, Johnny? Okay, so she did have some tests, but she hadn't got those results yet. So do continue to keep her in your prayers as she's recovering from her back surgery. Sorry, I didn't see you back there, Johnny. Remember Miss Beth Kidd, who has some medical issues. Remember Miss Imogene Smith, she is back at home recovering. Floyd Corley, we kept getting conflicting information. He was supposed to be doing a knee surgery, then he wasn't going to be doing it, then he was going to be doing it, and I understand right now that he's not going to be doing that knee replacement surgery. So, but do keep him in your prayers. He's not able to walk up the steps to come to church, and it's too far to walk this way. So keep him and Miss Hilda in your prayers. Diane Tatum is recovering good from her hip surgery. Just continue to pray that things continue to go well there. And then Miss Jean Seagraves. Any update on her, Miss Pat? Okay, so she's at Life Care. So keep her in your prayers as she continues to recover. The rehab, right. All right, any others on our Highland Baptist Church family that we need to update there? All right, on our friends and family side, we're just going to hit a few quick ones here on this side. We mentioned some of these last week, but these are some of the newer additions. We want to remember Nancy Rose, who's in rehab. Remember Kathleen Scoggins, we added her. I did get that right, Miss Wendy. Okay. With her medical issues, keep her in your prayers. Remember Gladys Griffin, who broke her hip from a fall. Remember Phyllis Bowman, who's at Harton Hospital for leg issues. That's a request from Bob Foglia. And then also Joanne Woodson. Okay, so she's feeling good, like maybe the fluid's off her lungs. Had some blood work on Monday, but they've not gotten the results back from that. So do continue to keep her in your prayers. And then we had Greg Perry, who's a friend of Jennifer Sipes that we had added with some medical issues. And then Bethany has her surgery tomorrow. What time? 7:30. So keep her in your prayers as she has surgery on her other ear. As she had on the other one, and everything seemed to go well with that one. So pray that everything will go well with this one. Any other additions to the friends and family side? All right, on our nursing home. Huh? Okay, so this was on Gladys Griffin. Her rehab is going slow. Continue to keep her in your prayers, as we mentioned her a moment ago there. All right, on our nursing home assisted living list, we have Beverly Daniels, who's at NHC, Hoyt Farrell, who's at Legacy Nursing Home, Miss Mary Lee Stringfield at Lynchburg Nursing Home, and Janet Carter at NHC Rehab. And the update I got from Lynette earlier this afternoon was that the rehab is still going real slow. Her physical therapist said that she seems reluctant to participate, doesn't have the confidence that she's not going to fall again, and she's also consistently confused on where she is, thinking she's not in Tullahoma. So keep her in your prayers with all the things she's going through. Keep Lynette in your prayers, because that's difficult also when someone's going through that as a caregiver. Any others? All right, I've been congested in my head. Keep me in your prayers for that. And hopefully I don't have to blow the trumpet tonight. Didn't have to Sunday, so hopefully I don't have to today. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you so much for who you are and for your hand at work in our lives. Lord, we thank you for life. Lord, you could have taken us home at any moment that you wanted to. Lord, you have left us here for whatever purpose, Lord. You want to use us for your kingdom work. And so, Father, I pray that you will just have your hand upon us, your spirit upon us. Lord, we know that to be effective followers of Christ, we need to be faithful in our walk with you, but we also want to make sure that we're forgiven of our sin, that we're confessing, repenting of any sin in our lives. And Father, sometimes we don't take the time to just stop and examine our own hearts to discern where we are spiritually. Maybe there's something that we did that was sinful overtly, but maybe there's some things, Lord, that we didn't do that you've commanded us to do, and Father, you've told us that is sinful. Even to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not is sin. And so, Father, we don't want anything to hinder our prayers tonight. And so we just pray, Heavenly Father, that you would come and cleanse us with the precious blood of Jesus Christ as we confess our sins, as we repent of those things, turn away from those things, and turn to follow you. Father, fill us with your Spirit, not only forgiving us and washing those sins as white as snow, casting them as far as the east is from the west, Lord, but may your Spirit indwell us more and more. May we make sure that we are spending that time that we need to be with you in your word and on our knees in prayer, that we're closing, if you will, the door to the world and to the devil in our hearts and in our minds, and opening it wide open for you and your Spirit. Father, that the more your presence is within our lives, you are perfect love, and perfect love casts out all fear. There would be no room, Lord, if you are filling us for any of those ungodly thoughts, any evilness within our lives, any temptations that we might fall to. We know we're going to face those temptations no matter what, Lord, but I pray that as you indwell us and fill us more and more, as we make sure that we're spending those things, time with you, doing those things that we need to do, Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit will guide us, will focus us, Lord, on your will, and would empower us to be able to do all that you would have us to do, to live the Christian walk. Lord, we can't do that in and of ourselves. We need your power. In and of ourselves, we're going to fall every time. We're going to fall back into sin. And so, Father, I pray that you will help us to keep drawing near to you each and every day. Father, I pray that as you've forgiven us of our sins, we do want to pray effectual, fervent prayers for each and every person that's on this prayer list. And so we uplift each one of those we've mentioned, others that are printed on this list that we didn't, maybe other needs that were unspoken. Father, we uplift all of those things into your hands because you are the powerful, almighty creator of this earth. You created us, you loved us in sending your son Jesus to die on the cross for us, to forgive us of our sins. But Lord, you also sustain us each and every day. You give us the wherewithal to keep focusing on you, to keep walking with you, to have that strength that we need. And so, Father, we come before you and ask you, Lord, to hear our prayers on behalf of each one of these. Lord, divinely reach into these people's lives. Touch them as you are the great physician. And we pray, God, that you would bring the healing that they need to their bodies. Father, we pray that you would pour out your spirit upon them. Lord, that you would let them know that you are with them. May they find strength in your presence. For those, Lord, who may not know Jesus as their Savior, use these things and these crises that they're going through to bring them, Lord, to the place of faith in Jesus as their Lord and their Savior. Father, we pray that you would bring people across their paths, bring us maybe even across their path to share a word of encouragement, to share the good news of the gospel with them. Lord, that you would draw those who are saved to closer to you to have that strength to persevere in the midst of suffering. And Father, for those who aren't, to come to faith in Christ. So Lord, bless each one of these. Lord, wrap your loving arms around them and shower them with your grace and your mercy, as your grace is sufficient for all of our needs. May it be sufficient for their needs tonight also. Father, we pray for their improvement of their health. Lord, we know that you are capable and able, but some, Lord, may be a part of your will for them to continue through this journey through the valley. And so, Father, I just pray that you will walk with them and help them, Lord, to find peace in your presence, to be a witness to those around them. We pray for their caregivers, Lord. Lord, give them strength. Sometimes that is one of the most difficult things to do, is to care for those who may not understand what's happening, what's going on. And so, Father, I pray that you would just strengthen those caregivers also. Bless them, Lord, in a special way. Father, we praise you and thank you for our children who went to children's camp a couple of weeks ago. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you will bless them and help them to continue to grow in their walk with you, that it wouldn't just be a high that they were on from the week at camp, but that that would continue throughout their lives. Father, we pray for our youth and who are at camp, who have been at camp this week. And we pray, God, that you will continue to draw them close to you also. So, Lord, we pray tonight as we come to study your word once again in the book of Jeremiah. Lord, may this passage speak into our hearts to give us the application that you would help us to see from the book of Jeremiah. That the message that he was preaching to the nation of Judah is not only for them, it is a message for us also. So help us to see those practical things. Help us, Lord, to understand the deeper truths also, that we will not only just feed on the milk of the word, but that we would feed on the meat of the word also. So bless us tonight. May you break your word for us, and may you nourish us with it. Lord, may you renew our minds by the power of your living word. And we just ask, Lord, for your blessings upon us tonight. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen and amen. We'll take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to Jeremiah chapter 26. You'll see on the screen there the title that I've given tonight's message, Speak Every Word. Speak Every word. You'll see exactly where that comes from in the passage in these first few verses that we're going to see here. But in Jeremiah chapter 26, we are going to see that things are continuing on in the same message that God has been using Jeremiah to declare to the people. They have not listened to God. We talked about that last time in this passage in chapter 25. And tonight, we see that things have not changed. They have not repented of their sin. And so we're going to begin here in just a moment in verse 1 down through these first verses here. When you think about back during the American Civil War, there were telegraph operators, and those telegraph operators were entrusted with delivering military messages. They understood that even a small change in wording could cost people their lives. They had no authority to revise the message. They had no authority to improve the message or even to omit parts that they thought were unnecessary. Their responsibility was simply deliver the message exactly like it's been written. Or imagine a pharmacist. A pharmacist deciding that, well, maybe this ingredient in the prescription, that seems unnecessary, and choosing to leave that out. We would call that malpractice because people's lives are at stake. Well, in the same way, we see here in this passage that God has not called us to edit his message. We're not editors of God's message, we're messengers. Our responsibility is not to improve his word or to soften his warnings or to adapt his truth to fit the spirit of the age, if you will. We're simply called to speak what God's word has said. We're not pharmacists changing the prescription. We're messengers delivering the truth. And that's the challenge that Jeremiah was facing in his day. And to Jeremiah, God says to him, do not hold back a word. Now, the setting is the beginning of the reign of Jehoiakim. We know this as we read verse 1. In the beginning of the reign of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, this word came from the Lord. So when Jeremiah's telling us this, he's making sure you're clear. This isn't something I've made up. This isn't something, well, I saw what you were doing. You know, I have that sometimes. I'll have people tell me, how did you know that that message was just to me? It seemed like you knew what was going on in my life. I'm just preaching through the Word of God. I preach through the book chapter by chapter, verse by verse, book by book. You can't make that claim that I cherry-picked a verse or cherry-picked a passage because of something that was going on in someone's life. I preach in the book of Romans on Sunday mornings, preach in the book of Hebrews on Sunday night. If you only come on Sunday mornings, you're missing two-thirds of what else we're trying to pour into your hearts to help you to grow in that walk with you. And so he makes sure here in verse 1 to make clear that it's the word of the Lord that came from the Lord to him to give to the people. Now, that's the setting here. Judah had, by all appearances, they had all those appearances of religion, but very little genuine devotion to God. Think about it. The temple was still there in Jerusalem. Sacrifices were continuing. Enemies had come against them, but they had not taken Jerusalem. You remember the Assyrians had to go back up north to take care of some invaders from their own country, and that was ordained of God for that to happen, to give Jerusalem another opportunity to repent. Sacrifices were continuing. Priests were still performing their duties. And yet beneath all of that outward form of worship, the nation was spiritually sick. They had come to trust in their religious traditions while ignoring the God those traditions were meant to honor. And in that atmosphere, into that atmosphere, God sends Jeremiah with a very specific command in verse 2. Thus says the Lord, stand in the court of the Lord's house And speak to all the cities of Judah that come to worship in the house of the Lord all the words that I command you to speak to them. Do not hold back a word. Now notice what God does not tell Jeremiah. He doesn't tell Jeremiah to take a survey and find out what the people wanted to hear. He doesn't tell him to, well, Jeremiah, you just need to maybe adjust your message so it's not so controversial. He doesn't tell him to preach what is popular. He simply says to him, speak every word. Do not hold back a word. Jeremiah knew in that, and also from when God called him to ministry, he knew that obedience could cost him everything. God had already told him when he called him, your preaching ministry is not going to be a bed of roses. You're going to experience difficulties. He knew his message would be unpopular. He knew that the priests and the false prophets would oppose him. He knew that standing for truth might very well cost him his life. And yet he also knew that faithfulness to God was more important than the approval of men. And the truth is, every generation faces that same choice. Will we speak only the parts of God's word that are comfortable for us, or will we remain silent when truth becomes costly? Or will we, like Jeremiah, determine that no matter what the culture says, no matter what the opposition comes, no matter what the consequences may be, I'm still going to speak every word that God has given us? There are moments in life when obedience to God comes with a price. You may lose some friends. It's easy to speak when everybody agrees with us. It's easy to proclaim truth when truth is popular. It's easy to talk about God is a God of love and grace and mercy because that's what we need and people want to hear that. But we don't want to hear the other side that God is also a just God. God is a holy God and must punish sin. And so it's easy to proclaim when truth is popular, but the real test of faithfulness comes when God's message is unwelcome and standing for Him may cost us acceptance or reputation or even our security. Because at the end of the day, God has never called His servants to be successful in the eyes of the world. He's called us to just be faithful. And so that's what our whole message is about here from Jeremiah, is about faithfulness. There's several things I want you to see about faithfulness. First of all, is that faithfulness requires speaking God's word without compromise. Now, Jeremiah 26 here is recording the same temple sermon summarized more fully in chapter 7. So go back to chapter 7 and you'll see the more fuller version there of this same sermon. So it's not the first time Jeremiah's preached this word. God commanded Jeremiah to stand in the temple court. Why does he tell him to go in the temple court? He tells him to go to the temple court where the worshipers from all the cities of Judah gathered. That was the most public setting possible in that day. And so as the people entered the temple to worship, Jeremiah was to confront them with the truth. Now the Lord specifically told him, do not hold back a word. Literally, he wasn't to hold back. He wasn't to omit anything that God reveals to him. And the message itself reveals the heart of God. Let's read verse 3 on down through verse 7. He says, it may be they will listen and everyone turn from his evil way. So he says, don't hold back a word because it may be that they will listen. Maybe everyone will turn from their evil way that I may relent of the disaster that I intended to do them because of their evil deeds. You shall say to them, thus says the Lord, If you will not listen to me to walk in my law that I have set before you and to listen to the words of my servants the prophets whom I send to you urgently, though you have not listened, then I will make this house like Shiloh and I will make this city a curse for all the nations of the earth. The priests and the prophets and all the people heard Jeremiah speaking these words in the house of the Lord. Now understand this about what this message is talking about here. These warnings of God, God's warnings are never expressions of cruelty. In fact, they are displays of mercy because judgment was not God's desire. Repentance was. The Lord was extending one more opportunity for the nation to turn back to him before the chastisement, the punishment came. And so Jeremiah reminded them God had repeatedly sent his servants. He had repeatedly sent his prophets to call them to obedience, but they had refused to listen. But notice here what he said in verse 3. He said, it may be that they will listen. So right there you begin to see there's still hope for them. Even though he's giving a word of warning, he says there is still hope. If they'll listen, maybe everyone will turn from his evil way. I will relent of the punishment, the disaster that I intend to do to them because of their evil deeds. And again in verse 4, he says, if you will not listen. So you have a choice in the matter here. There is human responsibility even underneath God's sovereignty. And so judgment was not God's desire. And he had reminded them about the prophets who had come before. And he says, if you continue to reject God's word, Jerusalem and the temple itself are going to become like Shiloh, the place where the ark once resided before God allowed it to fall into the enemy's hands. And so what the Jews had come to believe was that because they had the temple, that somehow secured and guaranteed their security. But they had forgotten that God's blessings are never a substitute for obedience. Think about that where we live. We live in a great nation. We live in freedom in this nation, unlike many people around this world experience. That is a blessing for us. But in some ways, it's a curse for us. Because we lose the focus that we need to have. We don't depend upon the Lord. We don't trust in the Lord. We don't obey the Lord. Because we, in some sense, live in luxury and peace and comfort, we feel like we can do whatever we want to do. We think that the blessings somehow secure God's security over us. Well, the false prophets had assured the people, oh, everything's okay, everything's well. They had preached peace. And yes, there could be peace, but what they were missing in their message was repentance. The false prophets assured that everything was going to be well. They preached peace without repentance, blessing without holiness. And Jeremiah, however, understood that the servant of God is not free to rewrite the message. His responsibility was just to proclaim what God had said. And that is still true today because we live in a culture that often prefers encouragement without repentance and promises without submission. And yet God's truth is not ours to edit or to change. We're called to speak with grace. We're called to speak with compassion and love, but we're also called to speak with conviction. Obedience to God means that you do that, you obey him, and you leave the results to him. Now, Jeremiah couldn't control how the people responded, just like you can't control how people will respond if you declare the truth of God's word, but he could control whether he obeyed or not. And that's what you can control. You can control whether you obey or not. And so faithfulness requires speaking God's word without compromise. Secondly, we find from Jeremiah here that faithfulness to God often brings opposition. You can try to sugarcoat it, you can try to say it as gently as you want, but sometimes the truth pricks the heart. The Word of God pricks the heart. It's not you doing it if you're declaring the Word of God. So make sure you're just sharing the Word of God and you're not putting your own into that and adding more to that than what God has intended. But when you share the truth of the Word of God, it pricks the heart. So we see, secondly, faithfulness to God often brings opposition. Notice verse 8 down through verse 11. And when Jeremiah had finished speaking all that the Lord had commanded him to speak to all the people, then the priests and the prophets and all the people laid hold of him, saying, "You shall die." This is it, Jeremiah. You're done. We're going to kill you. It's over. They went on to say, "Why have you prophesied in the name of the Lord, saying, 'This house shall be like Shiloh, and this city shall be desolate'?" What house is he talking? They're talking about the temple, the house of God. The city there, Jerusalem. "And this city shall be desolate without inhabitant. And all the people gathered around Jeremiah in the house of the Lord. When the officials of Judah heard these things, they came up from the king's house to the house of the Lord, and they took their seat in the entry of the new gate of the house of the Lord. Then the priests and the prophets said to the officials and to all the people, 'This man deserves the sentence of death because he has prophesied against this city, as you have heard with your own ears.'" Jeremiah's sermon ended. Brief message. Go back and read more of it in chapter 7. And instead of repentance, instead of people turning to God, there's outrage. The priests, the false prophets, even the people, just like when they stirred up the people for Jesus and said, "Crucify him, crucify him," they were saying to Jeremiah here, you shall die. Now, under the law, a false prophet who presumptuously spoke in God's name was worthy of death. You see that in Deuteronomy 18, verse 20. That's what the Bible says there. The prophet who presumes to speak a word in my name that I have not commanded him to speak, or who speaks in the name of other gods, that same prophet shall die. And they were accusing Jeremiah of blasphemy. Their anger centered on his declaration that Jerusalem and the temple are going to become like Shiloh were. Shiloh had been utterly, completely destroyed. In their minds, God's covenant with David and the presence of the temple guaranteed them protection. They had confused God's promises with unconditional approval. That's where we have to be careful as believers. If you're a believer, you've trusted by faith in Jesus as your Lord and your Savior. Even Paul addresses this when he talks about that the more sin abounds, the more grace abounds. And so he says, should we then keep sinning so that grace will abound more? You have your salvation. You know that you're going to heaven, so then does that mean you can just live whatever you want and do whatever you want because you have God's unconditional approval on you because he saved you? They assumed that just because they possessed the temple, that they possessed God's favor regardless of how they lived. And it's so easy, so often, for religious people to make the same mistake, to think that church attendance or our biblical knowledge or our spiritual heritage — my mom and dad were Christians, my grandma was Christian, my whole family's been Christians — that somehow those things are substitutes for genuine obedience. It's not. God has always desired hearts surrendered to him more than outward forms of religion. They were holding on to David, but they had forgotten what had happened before that. Remember in the Old Testament when Saul had sinned, what God said in 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 22 and verse 23. And Samuel had said to Saul, he was the prophet who's speaking to Saul. He says, "Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices? Is that what God desires more than anything else? As in obeying the voice of the Lord?" And then he goes on to say, "Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to listen than the fat of rams." And when he says listen there, he's not just talking about what you hear audibly with your ears. He's talking about what you hear with the intent to obey. And so he says in verse 23, "For rebellion is as the sin of divination, and presumption is as iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected you from becoming king." That's what Samuel, the prophet, said from the word of God to Saul when he sinned. So when the word of the disturbance reaches the palace in Jeremiah here, the officials come running to the temple. They sit in judgment at the new gate. The scene is the scene of a courtroom. The priests and the prophets, they have formally charged Jeremiah before the rulers. They've demanded that he be executed. Jesus himself warns us that faithfulness will bring opposition. The apostles experienced it. Paul experienced it. Believers throughout history have experienced it. Truth has always been welcomed by some and resisted by others. The temptation when opposition comes is to retreat, or to compromise, or to remain silent. That's where many of us want to go. I'll just be quiet. I don't like confrontation. And yet silence is not faithfulness. God has not called us to seek approval from men, but to seek approval from him. Think about it in this way. A doctor who refuses to tell a patient about a serious illness they have is not a loving doctor. He's neglectful. And likewise, spiritual leaders who refuse to speak truth because it may offend those who are that individual, that doctor, that spiritual leader, is in a sense like that doctor withholding the very medicine that people desperately need. The third thing we see here about faithfulness is that faithfulness means trusting God with the outcome. So it's going to bring opposition. So what do? You trust God that you communicate the word of God in love and in grace, but you leave the results with God. You trust God with the outcome. Verse 12 down through verse 15. Then, so they've already made their accusations. Now Jeremiah gets to speak his part in the trial. Jeremiah spoke to all the officials and all the people, saying, "The Lord sent me to prophesy against this house and this city all the words you have heard. Now therefore mend your ways and your deeds and obey the voice of the Lord your God, and the Lord will relent of the disaster that he has pronounced against you. But as for me, behold, I am in your hands. Do with me as seems good and write to you. Only know for certain that if you put me to death, you will bring innocent blood upon yourselves and upon this city and its inhabitants. For in truth, the Lord sent me to you to speak all these words in your ear." Given an opportunity to speak in his own defense, notice Jeremiah doesn't try to flatter the crowd. He doesn't try to soften his message. He simply says this phrase at the beginning of his defense and at the end of his defense: "The Lord sent me. The Lord sent me." His authority did not rest on popular opinion. His authority didn't rest on political influence. His authority did not rest on his religious credentials. It rested on divine commission. The Lord sent him. Jeremiah then called the people one more time. He gives the message again, calling them to repentance once again. Now, sometimes that happens. When people hear the word of God and they hear about the wages of sin is death, or they hear about the judgment of God, that's all they hear. They don't hear any of the rest of what you say. And they need to come back to hear God loves you. And he's made a way that you don't have to experience that death. Jesus experienced it for you. But they close their ears when they hear about the judgment. That's where these people were. They had heard what he said was going to happen to the temple, what was going to happen to Jerusalem, and they didn't hear anything else. That they just lost it when he said that. And notice he says here, once again, there's still time. There's still hope. He says, mend your ways, mend your deeds, obey the voice of the Lord your God, and the Lord will relent of the disaster that he's pronounced against you. There's hope. So Jeremiah calls them to repentance again. Even while he's standing on trial for his life, notice that his concern wasn't self-preservation, but it was their restoration was his concern. Verse 13 shows us the gracious heart behind this message. Judgment was not inevitable if repentance occurred. And then Jeremiah places himself completely in the hands of God. He doesn't try to talk them out of it, doesn't try to connive with them. If you do this, I'll do that, or I'll change this if you want me to. Those words that he says in verse 14, but as for me, behold, I am in your hands. Do with me as seems good and right to you. Those words reveal a remarkable courage in Jeremiah. Notice what he's saying there. He would rather die in obedience than live through compromise. He would rather die in obedience than live through compromise. He warns them, if you kill me, just know this, if you do kill me, you can do that if you want. You're the ones in power. I'm trusting God. He warned them that killing him would only add innocent blood to their guilt. It would only increase the severity of their judgment. Now, there's a tremendous freedom in that kind of surrender. When we know that we have obeyed God and we no longer have to manipulate the outcome, we can leave all of the consequences in the hands of God. Think about in the Old Testament, Daniel. Daniel trusted in God in the lion's den. The three Hebrew young men, they trusted God in the fiery furnace. Paul trusted God in prison. Jeremiah trusted God before this angry crowd. Here's what we learn. Faithfulness is not measured by popularity. It's measured by obedience. Last point. God honors faithfulness and provides help in unexpected ways. God honors faithfulness and provides help in unexpected ways. If the story ended there, we could come up with all kinds of scenarios of how the story continues. But it doesn't end there, because we find out in verse 16 down through verse 19, it says that the officials and all the people said to the priests and the prophets, this man does not deserve the sentence of death, for he has spoken to us in the name of the Lord our God. Whoa. Just a few minutes ago, they were crying that they were going to kill him. You're going to die. They wanted him dead. And now these officials and the people say to the priests and the prophets, he doesn't deserve the sentence of death. He's spoken to us in the name of the Lord our God. Verse 17, and certain of the elders of the land arose and spoke to all the assembled people, saying, Micah of Moresheth prophesied in the days of Hezekiah, king of Judah, and said to all the people of Judah, thus says the Lord of hosts, Zion shall be plowed as a field, Jerusalem shall become a heap of ruins, and the mountain of the house a wooded height. Did Hezekiah, king of Judah, and all Judah put him to death? Did he not fear the Lord and entreat the favor of the Lord? And did not the Lord relent of the disaster that he had pronounced against them? But we are about to bring great disaster upon ourselves. It's right at that moment, after hearing the evidence, the officials conclude Jeremiah doesn't deserve punishment. The rulers recognize he's spoken in the name of the Lord. He did not blaspheme God. God had preserved his servant. And at some point in all of those discussions that are happening after this trial is kind of coming to an end here, some of the elders remembered the ministry of this prophet named Micah. It was nearly a century earlier, almost 100 years earlier. Micah had said and proclaimed, prophesied, that Jerusalem would be plowed like a field, Jerusalem would become heaps. Micah chapter 3, verse 12 tells us that. It would become a heap of ruins, the mountains of the house a wooded height. Yet King Hezekiah, they tell us here in the story, and we see that in the Old Testament too, King Hezekiah doesn't put Micah to death because of that. Instead, he humbles himself before the Lord, and God delays the threat of judgment. Their argument is simple. Previous generations had responded to prophetic warnings with repentance, not execution. Then verse 20 through verse 23 tells us another story, the tragic story of Uriah. There was another man, they said. So they're bringing up some examples from the past. There was another man who prophesied in the name of the Lord, Uriah, the son of Shimei, from Kiriath Jearim. He prophesied against this city and against this land in words much like the words of Jeremiah. And when King Jehoiakim, with all his warriors and all the officials heard his words, the king sought to put him to death. But when Uriah heard of it, he was afraid and fled and escaped to Egypt. Then King Jehoiakim sent to Egypt certain men, Elnathan, the son of Akbar, and others with him. And they took Uriah from Egypt and brought him to King Jehoiakim, who struck him down with a sword and dumped his dead body into the burial place of the common people. But the hand of Ahiakim, the son of Shaphan, was with Jeremiah so that he was not given over to the people to be put to death. So look at this story of Uriah. At first glance, when you're reading this story, it kind of seems like, where did this come from? Seems kind of out of place, but it is providing us a striking contrast. Uriah had also proclaimed a message against Jerusalem, but when Jehoiakim sought to kill him, he flees down to Egypt. The king pursues him, brings him back, kills him, executes him. Jeremiah, on the other hand, stayed where God placed him. Even though both men preached faithfully, Jeremiah's willingness to stand firm demonstrated his loyalty both to God and to his nation. What he was doing there, Jeremiah was saying, I care about you guys. I love you. That's why I'm here. And you can do whatever you want to me, but I'm here to share with you what God has said. He loved Judah enough to tell her the truth. He was not a traitor. Finally, God raised up an unlikely ally named Ahiakim, the son of Shaphan. Shaphan's family had been instrumental during Josiah's reforms. When you read about Josiah the king, Ahiakim used his influence here to protect Jeremiah from the mob of those maybe who still weren't in agreement yet. And so what a reminder that here in the midst of Jeremiah is facing death, and then all of a sudden now they're saying, no, he doesn't deserve death. And then Ahiakim steps forward to protect him from anybody who might want to take matters into their own hands. What a reminder that God often provides support through people we may not expect. Jeremiah seemed like he was standing alone, but he was never alone. You may think that you're standing alone, but you are never alone. God had already prepared Ahiakim, somebody, to stand beside him. There may be seasons in life when you feel isolated because of your commitment to Christ, but God has always had his Ahiakims, and he always supplies encouragement and protection and strength that we can't always see what he's doing and how he's going to provide. Our responsibility is not to try to secure our future, to try to take matters in our own hands and work it out our way. Our responsibility is to just stay faithful where he's placed us. So what do we learn from Jeremiah 26? Jeremiah, standing there in the temple that day, had no guarantee that he would walk out alive that day. There was no promise that the crowd would listen. There was no assurance that the rulers would defend him. There was no certainty that anybody would stand by him. All he had was the word of God and the command of God, don't hold back a word. And that was enough. The same choice confronts us as believers. We may not stand in the courts of the temple, but we stand in our homes, in our churches, in our workplace, in our communities, and in a world that constantly pressures us to compromise, constantly pressures us to soften the truth, to stay quiet. And yet the Lord still speaks and says, speak every word. Not some of it. Not just the comfortable parts, not just the truth that people enjoy hearing, every word. Paul talks about it when he speaks to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1 through verse 5, when he challenges Timothy, he says, I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. He said, for the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but have itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. But as for you, and he says this even to us as believers, always be sober-minded. Endure suffering. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. Jeremiah stood before an angry nation, and he delivered God's message without compromise. He trusted God with the consequences, and he discovered that the God who sent him is also the God who sustained him. Now think about this. History doesn't remember the names of that angry crowd, of the people in the angry crowd. It doesn't remember the words of the false prophets. Their voices have long been silenced, but thousands of years later, we're still reading the words of Jeremiah. Why? Because God honors those who are faithful to him. And the Lord is still seeking men and women with that kind of courage. People who will speak the truth lovingly, who will stand faithfully, and then will leave the results with him. Martin Luther once was asked to recant his convictions. And he responded, here I stand. I can do no other. God help me. Jeremiah stood. The apostles stood. And now the Lord asks us, will we speak every word that he's given us, regardless of the cost? Speak the word when it's unpopular. Speak every word when it's costly. Speak every word when it's often misunderstood. Speak every word when we're standing alone and it's uncomfortable. Because as we saw, success in God's kingdom is not measured by the applause and the numbers and the acceptance. It's measured by faithfulness. One day, Jeremiah laid down his ministry, and one day we will lay down ours. And we're going to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, and on that day, the opinions of men are not going to matter anymore. The question won't be, did they admire you? Were you accepted? No, the question will be, were you faithful? 1 Corinthians 4:2 says, moreover, it is required of stewards that they be found faithful. And just think, imagining hearing those words that every servant of the Lord longs to hear from Matthew 25:21, well done, good and faithful servant. Determine in your heart today to speak every word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the example of Jeremiah, this man who chose faithfulness over popularity and obedience over safety. Lord, we thank you that your word is true and that your purposes are perfect, and Lord, even that your grace is sufficient for every need, for every challenge that we face. Lord, forgive us for those times where we've been silent, where we should have maybe spoken up, where we've been tempted, Lord, maybe to soften the truth, to gain the approval of others. Lord, give us hearts that love you more than loving the praise of men. Lord, fill us with your spirit and give us the courage, Lord, to stand firm. Give us wisdom in our hearts and our minds to speak with grace and love and truth, and the humility to leave the results in your hands. Lord, help us to remember that your warnings are displays of your mercy, and that your truth is always, always to be given in love. Lord, make us men and women who will not hold back a word, but who will speak every word you've entrusted to us with a conviction and a compassion and a faithfulness. And Lord, one day when our race is finished and our work on earth is done, may we be able to stand before our Savior with nothing to prove, nothing to hide, rejoicing only in his grace. May it be said of us that we were faithful. And by your mercy, may we hear those precious words from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. We ask all those things in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Well, thank you so much for being here tonight in person. Thank you for being there online with us. We look forward to seeing you again Saturday. Don't forget, we've got Chosen Road at 7 o'clock. Next Sunday, we have the Lord's Supper. We begin our service with that, and so you'll want to be here early for that to make sure you're ready for that. So we look forward to having a wonderful service this coming Sunday. You have a blessed week, a safe week, and we'll see you then.